Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Back and healthy and get guys on the same page.
All right, Eric. Safe travels, my man.
Guys, I appreciate it. I hope that answered your questions. I mean,
no, we're all just trying to talk through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I did. You didn't ask me anything about the stuff I found. I'm shocked. You being a baseball guy, it was really cool to see the red seat, the 502 feet stand. It was the first time on the monster, and then I found a really cool picture of the Carlton Fisk.
Did you put this on socials?
I put my stuff on Instagram. I did not put the picture on because it's for somebody else.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, so I don't have Twitter right now because my account got hacked. And then
Instagram?
I don't have the Gram.
All right. I'll send you the pictures.
All right.
It helps when your best friend of traveling, and who I consider like family, Rob Fisher, is also a baseball guy. And our tour guide was blown away by we knew the answers to every one of his questions. So, like, the Red Sox won the World Series.
Were
the only team.
You went to Game 7, right?
Yes, we sure did.
I mean, that had to be, I get it, none of your teams are involved, but that had to be up there and one of the best things you've ever seen.
So I would say that's right at the top. I went to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Stanley Cup Finals with Boston and Tampa Bay. One of my closest friends was the radio voice of the Bruins at the time. He's now in Vegas. And that was a nothing-nothing game. And the intensity of that was incredible. And obviously with the home team coming out on top. But what I said to someone on that, it was only, you know, 17,000 people, 18,000
right.
people. This was 60,000 people in Game 7 of the World Series. And I give the Toronto fans all the credit in the world. We sat next to two Dodger fans, a father and son. The son was late teens, early 20s, and they flew to see Game 7. And nobody harassed them. You know, you heard all the, like, hey, you know, blank you, Freeman, and all these guys, you know, just cheering for their team. But at the end of the game, like, literally all these Toronto fans said, hey, congratulations, man. You guys deserved it. You guys have an incredible team. Hope you have a great time in Toronto. I was like, what world? I mean, if we were in New York, these guys would be running for the exits and like, running for their lives from angry Yankee fans, probably. But it was awesome. And it was an incredible gesture of kindness from one of the players, and we were very fortunate to go. So, yeah, it was incredible. It was incredible.
All right, my man. Enjoy the rest of your trip.
All right. Have a great weekend, fellas. Talk to you next week.
That is Eric Hasseltine, of course, of the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network. We come back. Let's do the tasting menu. Let's set up what I think could possibly be the best weekend of football for the entire year. We'll talk about it next with Cobb right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Let's get into the list. Tasting menu. All right, Cobb. As I said, if you ignore tonight, with all due respect to George, of course, I don't think George enjoys watching the Jets right now. We got Jets and Patriots on Thursday Night Football.
Existence is pain.
In New England or in New York?
It's in Foxborough.
Okay, maybe if I have to sell the game, Al might be extremely crotchety. Because That's
it's going to be cold. Well, it's going to be gross.
It's a five-hour flight.
Oof.
And he's fine going to New York because I think his family's from New York. So when he goes back to New York, he's in kind of a better mood. But Foxborough's not even Boston. You know, it's like an hour outside. So he could be in a special mood, and he's always at his best when the game's bad. But we also have Troy and Old Dominion, not exactly one of the best games in the Sun Belt. But if we start with tomorrow, we've got Clemson at Louisville, and we've got Minnesota at Oregon. In terms of Friday night football, those are two watchable games. And then if we start to go to Saturday, this is about as balanced of a schedule as I can remember. So in the early window, are you willing to declare Notre Dame at Pitt is TV one?
Probably, yeah, I'll declare that. I don't think there's really a close second either. I think that should be the best game. It's the most important game.
Is the next best game South Florida at Navy? So also in this window, we have South Carolina at A&M. We have Wisconsin at Indiana. Michigan at Northwestern. That game's at Wrigley.
Ooh, fun.
Arizona at Cincinnati. That could be a sneaky decent game. That's FS1 at 11. And then also in that window, we have Arkansas at LSU. I do think there's some like intrigue of, is LSU just done after last week?
/ is Arkansas just done after everything? So like who wants to be there less, really?
Yeah.
I would give South Carolina an outside chance. I could totally see a scenario where Shane Beamer calls a fake punt middle of the third quarter when South Carolina is down by 10 and they make that game interesting going into the fourth quarter at Texas A&M. Like I could see that. So but Notre Dame Pitt TV1 just need Pitt to show up, like need good Pitt to show up, because you heard Pat Narduzzi say it, right?
Well, I was gonna say
we could lose this game by 100 points and it wouldn't matter for the ACC title. And so like you hear that and you're like, all right, so are you guys really taking this game seriously or what?
Well, that's to me, let's be real, can we make money off that? Was that a Narduzzi put in the tape and was like, boys, we got problems. We got to gear up for the remaining ACC games. Like, that's what matters. Or was that him just kind of being candid and honestly saying kind of the quiet part out loud that we've heard a lot of other coaches? Like, we heard, remember last year, it came back to bite him in the butt, but like Kiffin was talking about whether or not teams would show up for the championship games if it didn't matter. Like, is this just another offshoot of that?
Yeah, kind of. It could be. But at the same time, I think there's probably some of what you said initially, which is you pop in that Notre Dame tape and dang, like you got to have some dudes on the lines of scrimmage to hang with that team. And I think Pitt has done a really good job of maximizing what they can be. Like Cade Bell is their OC and they've got a true freshman quarterback slinging it around. And like their offense is pretty fun, but lines of scrimmage wise, like Notre Dame is a lot better than your run of the mill ACC team. And that's who Pitt has been beating up on the last 2 months. So, like, I think there's a pretty good chance. There's a reason why this spread is 12.5. You know what I mean?
And I think it opened at like 10. I mean, it has consistently been going up. Also, yeah. Let's see. I looked it up yesterday. Marcus Freeman here we go. You ready? As a favorite of 7.5 points or more, Notre Dame is 32-3 under Marcus Freeman and 23-12 against the spread. They're also 6-0 and 5-1 against the spread in road games of 7.5 points or more. This is my favorite. Since Marcus Freeman took over in 2021, the Irish are 16-0 and 14-2 against the spread when they're favored by 7.5 points or more against Power Four opponents. Power Four opponents.
I was going to say, what yeah. about that Marshall yeah. game?
It's Power Four
Northern,
opponents.
Northern Illinois.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, Northern Illinois, but it's Power Four opponents.
Okay, well, that you're just making me feel better about thinking Notre Dame's gonna waltz through here. Because you remember last year, right, when Pitt started undefeated, and it was like, oh my gosh, it's crazy. And then they actually had to play decent teams, and they lost, I think, their final six games of the year. So it kind of feels like that sort of spot for Pitt again. I'd love to be wrong. Their freshman quarterback, Mason Heinchel, he's really fun, but he hadn't played no Notre Dame defense yet, I can guarantee you that.
No, I'm trying to look, like, had they made the change when they went to Florida State? Had they made the change?
Yeah, he won at Ohio, at Florida State. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about a win at Florida State when Florida State, I think, was down their top three receivers. We have at Syracuse, NC State, at Stanford, and then, yeah. Like I said, just keep me entertained. Like that, I think that's probably, for me, the hallmark. All right. Also in this window, does Tennessee Tech give a scare to Kentucky? So this would be the case for it, for those that don't know.
Oh, my God. Tennessee Tech is 10-0.
10-0. Now, this can work both ways. Everyone does the math of, oh, that's a frisky FCS team. But oftentimes what happens is, listen, Tennessee Tech's playing for something too, and they don't really care about the Kentucky game. A lot of times they will go in, like the FCS team that's just getting the paycheck in November, like they'll rest their guys because they don't want to get their guys hurt come playoff time. So
yeah, they're just there for a check. They're
right.
There for
I'm curious to know how seriously Tennessee Tech takes it.
Well, it should also be easier to convince Kentucky to take it seriously. Like, hey, guys, this team is 10-0. It's different than when EKU comes in and they're 2-7 or whatever, you know.
Well, and on like, top of that, if Kentucky gets this one, that's win number 5. And that means they get two shots against Vandy and Louisville. And if I know my boy, like I know my boy Jimmy Sexton, he can turn that into, if they get one of those two, that 6-6 could become a $50 million buyout due within 30 days.
Oh.
Because what are we at? What are we at, 36 this year? We can bump that up to 50. If they had that dreadful start that they did, and especially if it's Louisville.
Oh, I think they could absolutely beat Louisville because Louisville is actually not good.
Is Stoops like, back to his old bag where it doesn't really matter what the point spread is? Go when they play Louisville, like take the Wildcats. Because last year, I think I fell into the trap and Brohm just beat the doors off of him. But it's like, what if this year it's back?
So I think the Kentucky fans, they either want to see Kentucky win out or lose out. Like, lose to Tennessee Tech, lose to Vandy, lose to Louisville, so we can fire Mark Stoops and, like, get the money we need because everyone will be so mad. Or it's like, win out, and then all of a sudden we're 7-5 with a freshman quarterback who's balling out. And
I think they should be – if you went 2-1, if you become – and I get it. You and I both talk about this. What does it matter? What does it mean to be a bowl eligible? Like, I understand that.
I think at Kentucky, it means something.
But, I mean, also, if you won 6 games, wasn't this team at one point, like, 1-4?
Oh, yeah. And they looked bad, too.
Yes.
Because Zach Calzada, did you see Zach Calzada's social media? No, you're not on Twitter. You probably didn't see it.
No, but I'm aware of the video. I guess this is my whole thing. Was that everyone's first time meeting Zach Calzada?
Apparently, because... Yeah, the internet was pretty up in arms about him counting his money on Instagram Live.
Yeah. Listen, buddy, I hope you invest it. All right, let's get to the afternoon window because we got more bangers. All right, I think we have to agree. TV1's Oklahoma and Alabama, right?
For sure, no doubt.
All right, also in this window, yes, on Big Ten Network, number 21, Iowa, goes to the Coliseum to take on USC. That is a ranked-on-ranked game on Big Ten Network. Why do you ask that, Jeffrey, or why do you mention that? Because our CBS game, Cobb's employer, Penn State at Michigan State, which tells me one of two things. Number one, Big Ten Network had a higher pick in the draft than CBS. I know everyone's using the rule, well, you have to be on Big Ten Network twice. There's still other games, right?
I have no answers for why this happened.
I would understand if this were the last week of the year. It's like, okay, I get that, but holy cow. So we have Penn State, Michigan State on CBS. Also in this window, Virginia at Duke. Massive, massive stakes in terms of the ACC. We have NC State at Miami. UCF goes to Texas Tech. I have zero faith in UCF. Memphis at East Carolina. We also have A little bit later on the CW, North Carolina at Wake Forest, the race to 14 points might win it. But I think if you made me pick, I'm going TV1's Oklahoma and Alabama, TV2's Iowa at USC, 3 is UVA at Duke, and then 4, yep, Memphis at East Carolina. Although now it's like, I don't know. It's almost like if Memphis wins the last two, it's like I am happy for the fan base. I'm not saying, but it's like that is almost perfect for me. It's like, yeah, you lose the game that mattered the most, and then once the pressure's off, you win those two. But I think the real question with Alabama and Oklahoma, how seriously are you taking this threat from Oklahoma?
Yeah, I like Alabama here because you look at Oklahoma, and I think this is probably one of the better defenses that they've had to play against all season long. And it's not an offense that I trust to begin with. And now you put them up against the Alabama defense.
Oh, I got some numbers for you. You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
In conference play alone, if you look at the stats that matter, like EPA per drop back, yards per attempt, yards per completion, touchdown to interception rate, like the stuff we care about with quarterback play, there are 4 quarterbacks that are worse than John Mateer in SEC play. Can you guess who they are?
Worse than John Mateer?
Correct.
Okay. Garrett Nussmeier.
That is one.
DJ Lagway.
That is two.
And Lenore Sellers?
Nope. He's better.
Ah. Who's the
Jackson
third?
Arnold. And then one, I wouldn't, one's not fair. Matt Zellers.
Well, he hadn't played enough.
Correct.
Count.
But those are the only quarterbacks that have been worse than Mateer. Listen. I wasn't wrong. I was early. He's a fun quarterback. He's not a great quarterback.
Yeah, you called it. You nailed it. I'm just a believer in Alabama, man. They make the clutch plays on both sides of the football. Even when Ty Simpson isn't perfect, he always does enough. And the same thing is true of their defense. Like, their defense will give up yards. Like, they're not dominant. They're not this, like, vintage Saban Alabama defense. Not by any stretch. But then they come up with a big third down stop, or they come up with a turnover when the opponent is in the red zone, and they just make these plays time and time again. And when you're playing against an offense like Oklahoma's offense, that's more kind of living on the margins and, you know, looking for quarterback YOLO ball type of stuff. Like, I just don't trust that against a clutch, good defense on the road. So, I think Alabama's offense is like, They are a couple of plays away against LSU from blowing that thing wide open, and they just missed them. And more often than not, though, this year, like, Ty Simpson has been close, if not perfectly on some of those plays. So, like, I think there's a chance here that Alabama might just win this game. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, I can see a scenario where they win this game 41-16 or something just ridiculous, where Oklahoma kicks a bunch of field goals and has no answer defensively for Oklahoma's defense is one unit there that, like, could make this interesting if they force a couple of turnovers. But that's the thing. Ty Simpson hasn't thrown an interception since the first game of the season. So, like, Alabama doesn't make mistakes. They don't hurt themselves. So, like, if you're banking on turnover luck to get you over the top at Bryant-Denny, like, I don't think it's going to work.
I guess if we want to be fair, best defense the Bama scene was last week, LSU?
Yeah, or is Georgia's defense better? I don't know.
I think if you told me I have to bet on one, I think I like LSU's a little better.
Okay.
I think LSU can create more havoc, but yeah, those are probably...
But I think Brent Venables is a good defensive coach, but I will take Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb over Brent Venables. Like, I think that's a good chess match. Like, I don't think it's a landslide, but I think Alabama's offensive coaches are better than Oklahoma's defensive coaches.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, to me, I guess the other thing I should, like, in fairness, I thought when Oklahoma was going to Knoxville, I thought they were going to get beat, and they didn't. Now, shout out to Joey Aguilar for greatly aiding that effort, but scoreboard was the scoreboard. I also think, though, if Oklahoma goes into Tuscaloosa and pulls this off, we're going to have some interesting conversations the rest of the way. Because that opens the door for some weird, weird things. It's like, okay, if Bama's 10-2 and Oklahoma's 10-2 and Texas is 10-2, like, how are they legislating that?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, this is a huge Saturday for that, because you think about like Texas, Georgia, same deal.
Yes.
It would be a lot more convenient for everybody except for Oklahoma if Oklahoma just went over and played dead and, you know, just lost and it wasn't even close, right? Like that would be the simplest outcome here for all involved.
All right. Then the night slate. We've got Florida going to Ole Miss, and I'm just saying this. Looking at the injury report that Florida put out and looking at who they played last week and how they played last week, I think what happens in Oxford after the game is way more fascinating than what happens during the game. Because
you think Lane Kiffin might get asked a couple of tough questions in that?
Let me just say this. The vibes down in Oxford today are not great on retaining their coach. Now, it should also be noted that's this part of the calendar. Like, we're in Sexton season, baby. And it'll always be a situation where a lot of schools are going to feel good about getting a coach. Now, it's not great, but also there are some very good reporters on that Florida beat. And something tells me post-game, they're not heading to the Florida locker room to ask about third down defense.
Yeah, I mean, Kiffin's got to be ready for this. Like, it's going to be...
Well, that's the thing.
It's going to get grilled.
So, the thing about the Monday press conference that everybody's overreacting to, the thing that took me by surprise was, like, I think Lane just blacked out and forgot media training.
You mean when he gave an honest answer about what?
Yeah, makes like
the
he just forgot. He, like he forgot all that. Now, on Saturday, here's what I expect: he's going to give non-answers, and Ole Miss is going to go into a bye week, likely at 10-1. He's going to give non-answers. The Florida job's still going to be open, and unless he comes out and says, you know, the Leo speech, "I ain't ever leaving, and I'm signing the extension," like. That is going to be a fascinating end of the season.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. Like, there would be no reason for him to come out and stop the speculation right now, unless like there's some coveted prospect who's going to decommit, unless he publicly announces his commitment to Ole Miss or something. Even then, you can privately communicate with that prospect.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm not going anywhere.
No, I mean, there is apparently there's George. I think there's a big Florida commit that's showing up in Oxford.
Yeah, I want to say it's also an official visit. Like, yeah, he's so being hosted by Ole Miss.
We have to ask the obvious. Which school is Lane recruiting him to?
The one he's already committed to? Or
I'm just saying.
No, that's interesting. But here's what it is. It's like the longer Lane Kiffin drags this out and leaves this uncertainty lingering, the more leverage he has to get the money he needs for next year's Ole Miss roster. And that's what this all comes down to for me. I think if Lane Kiffin can get the amount of money that he thinks he needs for next year's roster, then leaving probably doesn't make any sense. When you're talking about a college football playoff team, you're talking about your son's the starting quarterback at Oxford High, your family is thriving in Oxford. If you have the same amount of money that the most of the best teams in the SEC have next year, you're probably going to stay. So that's why he's in this situation. It's like he's maximizing what's going on here to get the money that he needs for next year's roster. And the thing is, like, this will be the same thing he does every single year from now until all eternity, so long as he's winning football games at a decent clip. Because like the first time that he comes out and says, "I'm never leaving," then it becomes a lot harder to get those donations.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like, if he ever says, "Build the statue, I'm never leaving," you know, if he says that, then, like, it's going to be harder for him to generate the money that he needs for the roster every year. So, like, I think that's where this is. I think it would have to be really bad, I think, at Ole Miss from a financial standpoint, and really, really good at Florida or LSU. And I'm not talking about his compensation. I'm talking about the player compensation.
I think Lane Kiffin is either coaching Ole Miss or Florida next year. I don't think LSU's in it.
Yeah.
And I don't buy the NFL stuff.
Well, that would be interesting. Like, that would be a wild card, wouldn't it? Like, I'm kind of interested in that. Why don't you buy it? Like, you don't think there's any chance he would go to the NFL?
Do you know who his quarterback's coach is? And I'm not asking you nor expecting you to. Joe Judge.
Yeah.
You think Joe Judge is going to give a glory, like a glorifying endorsement of the New York Football Giants?
Yeah, I got you. Like that's,
I
you
also,
know, but it's Jackson Dart, man. Like,
yeah, I also, I don't know. I really don't. I think he's either coaching Florida or he's coaching Ole Miss. And I feel that, like, pretty strong. Where it starts to get weird, though, is, all right, let's say some of these other schools start making hirings and Ole Miss is coming down the stretch and the Florida job's still open and Ole Miss is headed to the playoffs. Like, conventional wisdom would tell you he's taking the Florida job.
Yeah, that would be kind of
so, like, how are you gonna handle that?
Yeah.
Like, are they going to part ways before the playoffs? Well,
this whole thing is interesting because we've seen this Lane Kiffin maturation before our eyes and all this, and that's the narrative right now. What's the narrative like in a month around Lane Kiffin? Is all of that whole storyline of his growth and development and everything, like, is that still the Lane Kiffin that we're talking about in a month, or is it, oh, same old Lane? Look at the way he handled this.
Tiger didn't change his stripes, baby.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying that either outcome, like, there, you know, like, he could leave and somehow maybe do it in a very classy and dignified way, I guess. But, like, there's also, you know, a much higher likelihood that it gets nasty if he leaves. You know, that's why I think the NFL thing would be interesting because, you know, if he goes to Florida or wherever, another college job right now, it's like he's turning his back and betraying Ole Miss. If he goes to the NFL, it doesn't really, it's not really,
no,
the same.
It's kind of like when Saban left, LSU fans didn't get mad when Saban left for Miami. They got mad when he went back to Alabama.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
They weren't happy that he left, but, like, it didn't become deeply personal until he went to Alabama. All right. Then our night slate, we got Texas at Georgia. We also have late TCU at BYU. There's some other, like, Boise State at San Diego State. Also up for grabs in the Mountain West. I think this is the real question that I have. How much of this turnaround for Texas is real?
I think it's fake. I think it's a lot of quick hit,
little Fugazi,
bubble screens, just sort of, yeah, an empty bag of air, like Arch Manning racking up passing yards because Vanderbilt and Mississippi State can't tackle. I think Georgia's defense is better equipped to handle all of that stuff.
Yeah, Georgia also typically handles poor offensive lines, and Texas has one. I kind of think this is where it ends, but I don't know. I may, you know what I mean? Like, that's the other thing, is like, I feel like Kirby has gotten the better of Sark in these matchups.
2-0 last year.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Jason Smith joins the program. Let's talk some Tigers with him next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have
no stores.
That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Jason Smith is the co-host of the Jason and John Show weekdays right here on 92.9 FM ESPN from 11 until 2. Follow him on the Everything app at JasonSmith929. Jason, what was your perspective following two performances from the Tiger basketball team?
The game in Oxford. I hesitate to say encouraged because I do think it's fair for anybody that had concerns about the front court or, you know, what you would get if there's something tangible to be gotten in terms of production from Aaron Bradshaw, who was a five-star at one point in his career. And you see let's be real, what wasn't an overly physical Ole Miss team. We talked about it with Dame Bradshaw before the game. Malik Diaz, a guy who's on-off, but not a guy who's going to come in. He's shown flashes of being a double-digit rebound guy, even did it against some good competition last year, I think, against Alabama. But you saw it again. He looked more like the guy who was getting pushed last year by the Tigers. There's an opportunity there, much like we felt like there was an opportunity for the Grizzlies, you know, to cross it over against Boston last night, particularly inside. You didn't see that. And so if that was a concern going in, you were probably still – you might be panicked. But, Jeffrey, I was listening to you, and I, you know, could certainly subscribe to a lot of what you were talking to in terms of being down or out about this season and the Tigers, which I think for, you know, maybe it's some part of my partner, John Martin, you know, seemed to be after that loss. And John's point was, look, it's only going to get tougher, specifically in this non-con, so how good can you be? I'm not there. I'm not ready to write off the season. It was a 6-point loss to an SEC team that's probably going down in a place that you haven't won since 2005. I'm not going to overreact to that or write off the season. What it looked like to me, Jeffrey, the bottom line is still a team that's going to win the American and as a result get the auto bid. And we'll see where it goes from there. You want to have a conversation about ceiling on seeds and those kinds of things? Sure. But I ain't ready to write off these Tigers after a 6-point loss on the road to Ole Miss.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually, Jason, encouraged by some of the elements of Memphis's performance against Ole Miss in the sense that like they limited turnovers. Turnovers were not the issue that I expected them to be in that game. Oddly enough, like the thing that was lacking was defense, which you rarely say about a Memphis team under Penny Hardaway. But to me, that actually seems kind of fixable. It doesn't seem like, oh, well, there's nobody on this team who can score. Like that's going to be a season long issue. Like that doesn't seem to be a problem. The problem was shutting down Elias Comerdine. And I feel like you can go to work in the gym on playing a little better team defense and fix that issue.
Well, I think you're right. I do think the game plan, and we know Penny's always looking for the top guy, and they did a lot of it, was double-team Soar, double-team Malik Diaz. And what that did was leave the man that Dane had identified literally going into the game, watch out for this French pro right here, Comerdine, however you pronounce it. And that ended up being the guy who, in a lot of spots, was wide open. So, you look at the game plan beforehand and you say, okay, well, Ole Miss beat you there because somebody you didn't consider, you know, a main option or somebody you were going to double team necessarily off top, you know, ended up burning you up. And, boy, did it show the difference maker that he is and can be for them this season. That said, too, Cobb, I mean, you know, the 7 turnovers were a surprise, particularly for a team that's got 15 new dudes. You'd like to see that continue. You know, I'm not overly optimistic that it will. Although you do it against an SEC team, good. The other part about that though, defensively, with 15 new dudes to continue to use that, you know, it's going to take a minute before Penny's got them playing the way he wants to. Technically, Penny in his defensive game plan would like to play a lot of guys so that he can press, create chaos, and the thought is
sort of like with Isolo, the thought is, well, that keeps guys fresher and I can keep a press on. I'm not sure he's got a bunch of guys that he can. And so defensively, it could take some time to come together. I'm not sure they've got a real rim protector, although they've got the length Cobb. You know, I'm not sure that's there. But that said, with their length, with their athleticism, with the fact that they can throw a bunch of wings at you, can go small, can go big, I do think eventually, especially with their energy level, we saw them getting after it early against Arkansas. Before that, you know, Arkansas kind of figured them out. I do think there's the makings of a solid enough defensive team that it's, again, going back to it, the American winner. But listen, Penny and turnovers, you know, four of the 7 seasons, they finished in the 300s at KenPom in turnover percentage. I'd like to believe that this is going to be a team that's only going to turn it over 7 times, but we've seen it in the preseason. We've seen it from some of these guys, whether it's, you know, Doug McDaniel, whatever else. That's something I'm keeping in my eye on, specifically with so many new guys. Hopefully you can stay that good. I'm not sure that I'm very optimistic that it will stay that good.
All right, this story just came out about a couple hours ago. This is from Clutch Points. I believe Josu Pavon is how you would pronounce the writer's name. So he interviewed Marcus Smart last night when the Thunder played the Lakers. And this is what Pavon writes. Smart, looking back on last season, watched Grizzlies GM Zach Kleiman fire coach Taylor Jenkins with 9 games left in the regular season. Very uncommon for a playoff team weeks before the postseason. It was a telltale sign of an organization in flux, but did it make Smart feel any better about his trade to the Wizards? Quote, way better. You see what's going on now. That started with me. I came back from an injury, and I got traded because they said I didn't want to be there. I'm injured. What do you mean? I don't want to be here. I'm working every day, working my A off, cheering. I'm the only one on the bench coaching, but you know how it is. Control what you can control. I wish nothing but the best for them. Those guys, they work their A off, but you could definitely see this coming, and now this is what you get. You could see it. Even when I was there, me and Jake LaRavia, you could see just how they were handling things, going about things, and it's unfortunate. You've got some good talent over there. It's unfortunate. Hopefully, they can get it together. How's that make you feel, Jason?
Well, I'm not too worried about what Marcus Smart has to say specifically at this point.
Correct, a guy that got traded, to be clear.
I mean, I will say that, let's be real, Ja Morant was in protest when Taylor Jenkins down the stretch there was not playing games, and as soon as they made the switch, he was back. Ja Morant might have liked to, you know, Taylor Jenkins and was the guy that brought him in. They danced together at one point, but I think Ja Morant was on board with a change. And so, again, if Marcus Smart is talking about, you know, how the players felt about Taylor or making any case that Taylor Jenkins should still be the coach, I think Ja and those guys kind of told us that voice was no longer being heard and it was time for a new one. Now, whether they got the right guy is completely up for debate. You know, and Tuomas Isolo, and I'm not going to get into a whole conversation. We did that for 3 hours on my show, and certainly it feels like most of the fans right now are pointing the finger at Isolo. But back to Smart, I always felt like coming off of being, let's be real, traded from Boston, and they go on to win a title, that you had a guy that was homesick. You had a guy that was watching Boston go on and win it without him and probably wasn't all the way in ever with the Memphis Grizzlies. Yeah, he's right, and it's easy to make the case he was hurt. Right. So he could never give it the full go. And there was one point, you know, where Marcus Smart, you know, was diving on the floor. I remember he got the hand injury diving, you know, whatever went into, you know, and was actually scoring. But what never happened, what never materialized was him becoming the player, the replacement for Dylan Brooks. And that's as much on Marcus Smart as it was on the organization. I think at the time we all, you know, while some of us might have said, hey, man, I don't know what he's got left with that body, right? I mean, he's you know, a lot of tread's been worn off that tire. I think we all agreed at the time it was the kind of guy specifically to replace Dylan Brooks that brought an edge and could be a perimeter defender. It did not go that way. And Marcus Smart and Jake LaRavia, another guy that you could say Grizzlies making a mistake on, didn't pick up the option. Look at the way he's playing now. Real easy for them to say at this point with how the Grizzlies are looking. That said, there's some truth in what he's saying in terms of you look at this, and we could address it no other way in terms of describing it other than right now a mess. And yeah, there's a spirit of truth in that it was it was headed for a bad, a bad outcome, or at least a step back, 2 steps back. Feels like we're 5 steps back after you decide to trade Desmond Bane. So, you know, Marcus, easy thing to do. But I'm not paying too much attention to you know, his opinion.
Yeah, it sounds like you're not holding your breath either for the day when Ja and Tuomas dance.
I'm not, and I think that somebody showed me. I think Tuomas has already like tried to come in and do that. It might have been it was last year, and maybe just deciding, you know what, Ja needs that guy. Maybe that was the way of him getting off to what he thought was a good start in terms of the right foot with Ja Morant. That said, clearly he's also held him or tried to hold him accountable. And in terms of the rest of the team, we know that happened at least after the second half of the Lakers game. And so you do. There's a part of me that feels for the spot that Isolo is in. You know, you had this guy with you last year. You had him through the offseason. Everybody's saying this is going to be a system. Your system is going to feature Ja and be great for him. Ja seemed to be on the same page. And here you are 13 games, and it does. It seems in many ways. I mean, you had to suspend him for a game like he's already jumped ship on you. That said, they've done what they need to do to smooth it over for now. But no, Cobb, I'm not sure that he can speak Ja's language in a way that's going to come across. Drew Hill put it best. I've continued to use it because it resonated with me. There's managing basketball players, which Isolo's doing with his sub-patterns and patterns, and then there's managing people. And I'm not sure if Isolo's ever going to be able to manage Ja Morant. He's hard to manage as it is, but I'm not sure he's ever going to be able to speak that language, that people language that, you know, Ja, as emotional as he is, as much as he wears his choices on his sleeves, you need a guy, you need someone that's going to be able to consistently speak his language and keep him on the same page. For it to have already gone this bad 13 games, yeah, Cobb, back to what you said, I'm not sure that I believe that it's ever going to be right. That said, technically, Isolo's system is built for Ja. At one point, Ja was in. When Edie came back last year, when Ja came off the strike of Taylor Jenkins, it looked good. The numbers went up. Ja got his space. And so with Edie close to being back, you know, Ja figuring maybe at the second game of that back-to-back, you give him a little bit of a rest. He's back hopefully against Cleveland. Maybe we can at least start to see, Cobb, I just want to see I just want to see the vision. Like, let's see.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't agree more.
Frustrating is you cannot see anything. You said it. They've lost any semblance of identity, whether that's offensively or defensively. So at least let's hope they can get back in there. And it'll probably come with a bunch of losses, but at least let's see what Isolo sees. That's what's next, hopefully.
Jason, we really appreciate it, man.
Y'all take care.
That is Jason Smith of the Jason and John Show. When we come back, we tell your story next. King Florio has been cooking on this. The NFL asking the NFLPA to do away with the player survey. We'll tell you about that next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys. So for those that have not seen, according to Seth Wickersham and Don Van Natta of ESPN, the NFL has filed a grievance against the NFLPA wanting to get rid of the player surveys at the end of the year. Well, this is when our boy Florio gets cooking. Some owners have taken the scrutiny to heart by making changes. Others, like Jets owner Woody Johnson, who had no qualms last month about publicly criticizing his quarterback, have opted to attack the process, which obviously is what dysfunctional teams do when faced with real feedback regarding the overall operations of a dysfunctional business. It's been one of the best innovations from the NFLPA in years because the people who own the NFL teams typically avoid any and all criticism or accountability. Fans aren't inclined to boycott their favorite teams. Even when they hate the product, their love of the team keeps them from emotionally detaching. Thus, even when a team consistently loses, it continuously wins the battle of the balance sheet. I mean, he's not wrong in that, listen, they just hate it because, like, it puts it out there in the open.
Yeah, exactly right. If you're going to criticize me, do it behind closed doors.
Yeah,
don't let the people see it.
God forbid.
Heavens.
Come on.
Heavens, it's not as if our football team is telling us how terrible of an organization we are. Like, come on.
All right, my man. Have a good rest of your week.
All right, man. Thanks.
That's David Cobb of CBS Sports. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.